Welcome to the presentation for results for the third quarter 2019 for Grupo Suda. My name is Silvia. I'll be operator for today's call. Right now, all participants are in mute. Further on, you'll have a question and answer session for the people who are joining us in English. And those through the webcast, you can send your questions through the podcast. Please, this conference is being recorded. I give the floor to Mr. Juan Carlos Gomez, Manager of Investor Relations, to start the conference. Good morning. Welcome to the call for results for the third quarter of 2019 for Grupo Suda. Thank you for being connected. The presentation we're going to have here is found in our webpage, gruposuda.com. Remotely, we have our president, David Lujanine, and here in the room, Ricardo Jaramillo, Financial Vice President, Juan Luis Munera, Vice President of Legal Affairs, and Mr. Soto, Manager of the Accounting Area, and our Financial Vice President of Sudame and for Sudamericana, Juan Camilo Caparra, Manager for Capital Management. Now I'll give the floor to our President, David Lujanine. Very good morning. Welcome to everyone who has connected to our call for results for the third quarter of 2019 for Grupo Suda. To start with, I like to invite you to look at slide number 5, where we have some significant events for Grupo Suda. I'd like to start by talking about the excellent results that the company obtained during this third quarter, in addition with a positive operating performance, mainly the yield for investments, which has been very good for this year, makes up for some of the operating aspects that we will be commenting on later. Our operating revenue for Grupo Suda came to 16.2 billion pesos with an increase of 14.8%. The double-digit growth in the main operations, as I mentioned, the investment revenue has been pretty positive this year, and in addition, the participation method for the associated companies also reflects very good results, very especially for Bancolombia. The operating expenses have grown by 13%, coming to 13.8 billion pesos. About the expenses, it's good to remember that companies have been focusing on efficiency and expense control, that the accident claim has been controlled, and obviously the expenses have some investments in projects for growth and for company transformation. And as I said, also, there are impacts on some operations, like in Argentina, health, and also the VAT for sales for health insurance, life insurance. The operating profits came to 2.4 billion pesos, growing 26.3%. And the net profits came to 1.5 billion pesos, up 35%. It should be mentioned that the figure is higher than the profits for the entire 2018, which is highly positive and is a good omen for the results for the end of the year. These consolidated results reflect several things. First, that, as we have said in previous calls, we are focused on organic growth, on efficiency, and making operations profitable. And all of that has been reflected in these results that we are presenting today. As we already said, there's a positive yield from investments, which definitely compared to 2018, investments have produced much better results. We are in the process of optimizing our invested capital and to reduce leveraging, which is also seen in the results of the companies, and which will, these are good results, are part of the benefits from risk diversification from the geographic point of view. Lastly, in significant events, I'd like to mention some issues of an economic and social nature that have occurred in the region over the past months. First, there's the case of protests in Chile. We've had, in the past several weeks, a wave of demonstrations in that country, which indicate a serious social unrest by the population that has led not only to demonstrations but somewhat violent events, which have affected stability in that country. And we are hopeful that through dialogue, the government and the community can find a way to go back to normal, because Chile has been one of the countries with the best indicators in the region, and we are convinced that this problem is going to be resolved. In Argentina, because of the political changes that occurred with the elections where Alberto Fernandez was elected, there have been some situations that have created a macroeconomic and market instability, which has impacted, well, it has affected the results, the accounting results, and the consolidation of the results for Argentina, which, although have been good locally, when we consolidate, they are having a significant impact on the Sudamericana's results, and we shall see that later. In previous calls, we also spoke a bit about the problem of the health system in Colombia, in which we've said that we've had not enough payments for receipt from the EPS, a reduction in the premium for disability, and massive migration from members from other EPS towards SURA, which comes with delayed pathologies and have increased in, the cost of health coverage for EPS SURA. Finally, because of the abolishment of the financing law in Colombia, the government decided to postpone the discussion about a pension reform until next year. This reform is still very necessary. We've already heard about many issues of the pensions problem in Colombia. I would summarize that we have a public system which is unbalanced and unsustainable, and a private system that is not enough vis-a-vis the expectations of the community, in which the best way is to find a way to unify both systems to look for something that is good in general for the Colombian population. That system must obviously be sustainable, and mainly that the country is in a position to pay what the pensions cost. We believe that public discussions about pensions must come to a higher level, where we have less politics, less ideology, and more collective intelligence, and go back to the past is not a solution for this pension system in Colombia. Okay, this ends the significant events, and I'll give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will go into more details about the figures for Grupo Sura. Thank you, David. Let's go now to slide 6, the financial situation. We've highlighted the growth of equity, 28.8 billion, with an increase of 7.2%, mostly driven by the increases in consolidated net profits. Also, we have our cash is 70 million, so a decrease of 1.5, mainly because of two effects: the elimination of lifelong revenue and the increase in operating accounts, which makes up most of that effect, and the growth effect is 1 billion. Liabilities, we find the same effect: the elimination of lifetime annuities, we have a decrease of 9.4 million, and the rest of the operation makes up part of that, and the total decrease is 3 billion from the liabilities as of September. On the right-hand side of the graph, we see the financial consolidated financial debt, and we see that the debt is 9.7 billion. It's important to clarify here that debt has been amortizing, but as part of that debt is indexed to the dollar, it has higher debt associated with rate of exchange. But it's important to point out that that impact must be made up or set off by the coverage or the hedges that mitigate the effect. When we looked at individually, in Grupo Sura, we, as of September, are amortizing approximately 270 million in debt, and we expect for the end of the year is to have close to 330 million pesos in debt, which was as we expected from the beginning of the year. Going on to slide number 7, we'll see the consolidated statement of results, and we want to point out the organic growth for investment from revenue from investments, which drive net and operating revenue. We achieved 16.2 billion in revenue for the first 9 months, with a growth of 14.8%. And we can see that the various accounts that make up those revenues have good growth. In retained premiums, we have 205.8% growth. We have dynamic in revenue from commercial insurance spend. Services is 3% in revenue from investments. A very good year for capital markets, and have a growth of 42.7%. The net in participation has been driven by many of the associated companies, especially Bancolombia Protection, growing 43.8%. What gives us this level of revenue that we're showing. In expenses, are growing at a lower rate than revenue. We are continuing with the dynamic we've seen in the previous quarters, with a focus on making operations more profitable. They are growing 13%, and this leaves us an operating profit of 2.4 billion for the first three quarters of the year, growing at 26.3%. In net profits, we have 1.5 billion, which is a growth of 35%, and which is higher than the total profits for 2018 and 2017. To point out in the comments on the right-hand side of the comment, we want to point out that the operating results, not including revenue from the cash deposits, have grown at 13.2% in the operating profits. We also want to clarify that there is an impact according to IFRS 16, which is rentals, which has an impact of close to 54,000 million pesos, and also to point out that the Argentinian operation, which, as David said at the beginning, has had some losses due to the situation in the economic and political situation of the country, has losses for close to 98,000 million pesos compared to the previous year. This means lower profits for 131 billion pesos, which, if we were to include to exclude this impact from consolidated profits, the profits would be growing at 48%. Let's go to slide number 8. Slide number 8 shows us graphically what the net profits, consolidated net profits for Grupo Azur make up. This is growing at 35%. This is driven mainly by Sura M and associated companies, which you see in the participation method, mostly Bancolombia. This reflects the benefits that are obtained from the diversification of Grupo Azur's portfolio. We started at the beginning 1.1 billion at the end of contribution of Sudamericana. During that that sort of profits, Sudamericana is decreasing 95,000 million pesos, 24%, mainly due to the fact for the commissions for life insurance due to the situation in the health sector, which we will detail later, and the impact caused by the Argentinian economic issues. In Sur IM, the company has been growing at 42.5%, mostly due to the cash and the good operating results. The participation method has an increase of 39.5%, driven by the good results from Bancolombia. And when we look at in the gray, the various accounts that are affecting the performance of the Grupo Azur, we see that the positive is 34,000 million pesos that contribute to the profits. Mainly, I would say that there's a good performance, 30,800 million associated to a difference in rate of exchange and evaluation of coverage because of the mitigation of risk that we've been implementing throughout the year. To complete with 1.5 million billion in the profits that we mentioned earlier, and a growth of 35%. When we look at the net profits for the controlling company, the figure is 1.3, and the growth is 39.1%. Let's go to slide number 9, and here we see an estimated value for our portfolio, and we see how the sum of the various investments is close to 35 billion. We have pointed out that in this exercise, Sur Asset Management is being valued as of the latest transaction when we the CFPQ came to the company. Sudamericana is valued at 1.8 times the equity, and the associated Grupo Lotería de Colombia and Grupo Argos are valued at market value by the companies as listed. We come to a portfolio value of 35 billion. We decrease the individual debt Sura for debt, and we come to a net value for the portfolio close to 28.9 billion. We want to compare this period to the value of the stock capitalization, which is close to 19 billion. I'll give the floor to David so he can tell us about some significant events for the Sudamericana affiliate. Thank you, Ricardo. Let's go now to slide number 11, where we find the significant event for Sudamericana management of risk and trends. We have a positive growth in revenue with significant specific impacts that we mentioned in Argentina and in the health sector in Colombia, which have affected our company's net profit. The premiums issued for the third quarter totaled 9.5 billion pesos, with an increase of 15.1%. If we exclude the impact from Argentina, those premiums would be growing at 18.3%. The revenue for services provided, which is basically mandatory health, reached 2.8 billion pesos with a growth of 23.7%. Obviously, in the mandatory health sector, we see a very major dynamics, mostly due to the migration of members from other companies, and the company's net profit reached 300,000 million pesos with a decrease of 24%, which if we were to exclude the accounting effect from the Argentinian consolidation, those profits would be growing at 10.1%. There is definitely a good operating dynamics, but which in the case of Sudamericana does not completely offset the specific impacts from what we have mentioned. For example, the VAT for our commissions on life insurance is having an impact of 36,000 million pesos, which in the previous year we didn't have that impact. In general insurance, the loss from the consolidation of the Argentinian operations was 98,000 million pesos, which is one of the biggest impact on the company profits. In addition, we also in general insurance, we've seen higher cost of reinsurance in Chile. And what we already mentioned about the health segment, which although if we accumulated the entire health sector by the third quarter, we have positive results of 2,000 million pesos, and specifically because during the third quarter, we were able to do some internal corrections that enabled us to achieve net profits of 18,000 billion pesos for the quarter. We're gone beyond the break-even point in health, and we expect that the government will take some corrective measures so that health can continue to show positive results. During this quarter, we also announced, as part of the optimization of the equity, the sale of our participation in a company in the Dominican Republic, Danik Salud. That sale was 68,500 million pesos and gave us a profit of 31,800 million for that sale. On the right-hand side of the slide, we complete all the revenue for the company. We see a distribution by country and a distribution by type of solution, showing that there's good diversification according to solutions in Sudamericana for all these premiums. So with this, I'll give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will give you more details about the results for Sudamericana. Thank you, David. Let's now go to slide number 12, where we'll point out some indicators and some accounts from the statement of results. First of all, as we saw in the previous slide, the good growth of retained premiums and revenue from services provided, which is almost 10.5 billion with a growth of 16%. The accident rate and expenses have been controlled, but we have had some impacts on health costs, mostly due to VAT and mainly also due to the Argentinian situation. When we look at the claims plus reserves, we see that the indicator is at 54.5. When we show the cost of services provided at a rate of 280 base points, we've been improving that, and we'll see more details later. The trend that we saw from the previous, from the second quarter, which was negative, this claims were improved in health service provision. Their technical results have been down about 210 base points. The results of the impact from Argentina growing at 2.8%. Operating expenses are controlled and reduced by 40 base points as a percentage of operating revenue, growing at 13.2% less than the revenue. Taxes, we've had a significant decrease. Right now, we're reducing close to 86%, and part of that impact is associated to Argentina and mostly to the next point, which are the revenue from investments. Those grew by 2.7 and impacted by the Argentinian portfolio, which has been one of the highest in the company. Let's go to slide number 13. Slide 13 shows the evolution of the first 9 months of the year for net profits up for the Sudamericana affiliate. We see that the various segments have been affected by the reasons we explained earlier. We started with the profits for 2018, 295 billion pesos. Then we see the life segment, which contributes 20,816 positive with 5.5 increase even including the associated 36,000 million pesos of higher VAT in the commissions. We go to general. The difference is 116,000 compared to the previous year. Of those 30 million is explained by the Argentinian operation, which we'll see in more detail when we look at that segment. And then we see the health segment, mostly affected by the EPS business, which, as we mentioned earlier, has a different dynamics this year from what it had in the previous years. In the corporate segment, the different accounts that we have in the gray area, we see a positive 65,000 billion pesos. And mostly this is due to an impact of close to 31,800 million contributed by the divestment of the PALIC business, which is a health business that we had in the Dominican Republic, and which we announced that the divestment several days ago. Then we come to a profit of 700 billion pesos with a decrease of 24%. If we analyze net profits for the company without Argentina to look at the rest of the business, we see that the profit would have been 398,400 million with a growth of 10.3%. This gives us a return on equity of 13.3% and return on tangible equity of 13% for the company. Let's go to slide number 14. This will show us more detail about the life sector. We highlight the positive growth, 22% in premiums, and less number of claims in that segment. Net profits were 399,000 billion with a growth of 5.5%, even offsetting the impact of the VAT that we mentioned, and the various solutions have been growing positively. We see that the premiums are 3.6 billion pesos. Claims has been improved at close to 300 base points. The technical results we see increases 11.3%, around 539 million pesos. And operating expenses in the next graph is 700,000 million pesos with a growth of 24.4%. If we were to exclude the impact of life to see how much those weigh, the expenses would be growing by 18%, which is less than the growth of revenue, which is growing at 22%. The investment revenue has good dynamics, mainly due to the good results from fixed income, with a growth of 15%. Let's go to slide number 15, where we'll show the general segment. In this segment, we must understand the impact of the Argentinian operation in this segment. Without the Argentinian operation, the segment would be achieving 93,000 million with an increase of 19.8, which shows the good health of the other operations. When we specifically look at the net profits considering the Argentinian operation, it decreases 77%, a profit of 35,718 million. I want to point out in the middle the retained premiums by country. And we see the different countries. First, the relevance of each company in terms of what is the premium level according to the variation in Colombian currency growing at close to 6.3%. And third, the variation in local currencies with growth in some countries which are very positive, such as Brazil or Dominican Republic, or the case of Colombia itself, which grew at 12.1%. In the case of Argentina, we want to point out, as mentioned earlier, that the company has been growing well in local currency, 57%. This is associated to the levels of inflation and devaluation of the country. But the main impact that we have when we consolidate the operation have to do with the impact due to the valuation in the various accounts and to the lower value of the revenue from investment associated with the devaluation of the portfolio. This has not been materialized, but we value it at market prices because it has an impact on our numbers, especially in revenue from investments. Let's look at the lower part and look at the retained premiums. These have been growing at 6.3% to 4 billion pesos, the claims have decreased at close to 300 base points. Technical results are practically flat. Operation expenses are growing at 9%, close to the growth of premiums, and revenue from investments have a decrease at 17% due to the Argentinian devaluation. Slide 16 shows our health segment. We want to point out the results for the quarter. These results are stabilization of the claims paid and the effects of initiative for cost expenses to make the operations more efficient. Net accumulated profits was close to 2,000 million pesos. It's positive. And in the quarter, we have profits for 18,000 million pesos with a growth of 21%. We see that revenue have deteriorated due to the results from the second quarter in the claims that has decreased in the percentage cost of revenue by 240 base points, but it's lower than we had seen in the previous quarter. And operating expenses are more controlled, 18.1%, and they grew less than the revenue. The technical results is practically the same, growing at 58,000 million pesos, and revenue for investments in this relatively has grown 5.7%. I want to point out in the right-hand side of the slide, the total number of members, 3.5 million, 17% were end of the year, approximately 510,000 million more members, and the number of members in the complementary plan is growing significantly. And to point out what we said earlier, look at the lower graph where we see the evolution of the cost indicator and net profits. The gray line is the evolution of net profits. The second quarter was specifically bad, but right now we are at a profit level which is similar to previous quarters that we, even in the previous year, and the percentage is totally related to the cost of and revenue went up in the second quarter, and it is now at close to 82%, close to 88.2%, more aligned with what we've seen in the past. I'll give the floor now to David to tell us about the highlights of the Sura Asset Management. Thank you, Ricardo. Let's now look to slide number 18, where we have our significant events for Sura Asset Management. And the main news is a growth of 52% in net profits, who explained mostly due to a better yield of the in cash in 2019, together with a growth of operating businesses. Total clients were more than 20 million people, an increase of 2.3%, and this includes 141,000 new members who result from the bid in Peru for new members, and this is very positive for our portfolio in that country because these new members improve our average age of the customers. The company had net profits for the third quarter of 677,000 million pesos with a growth of 52.4%. In the mandatory business, we should mention that the revenue from commissions that have been resilient has grown at 8.9% in spite of what in some countries we've had lowered the commission rates. The portfolios, which are not mandatory, have had a positive result in Chile and Mexico and Uruguay. Especially in Mexico, we had a recognition as the best Afore by Morningstar. And another important aspect in the mandatory is the transformation, because in countries like Chile, today, the digital channel represents 25% of new sales in the case of Chile and 8.5% of new sales for Peru. This means a very significant reduction in membership expenses. The savings and investment business continues growing very well. The assets under management increased by 30% as of September, at the end of September this year, which is very positive. And in investment management, we have continued to consolidate that regional platform, which adds to the announcement of an acquisition of a fiduciary company in Colombia, which is going to be another channel for investment management. And the other good news is that 77% of the managed portfolio have had positive alphas. In the right-hand side, we see that total assets under management, in the case of Sud Asset Management, have reached 491 billion pesos, with a growth of 19.5%. And we see that the distribution by country, by type of investment. With this, I will give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will go into details about Sud Asset Management. Thank you, David. Now let's go to slide number 19, which will show the details of some accounts from the statement of results for Sud Asset Management. I'll start by pointing out the good growth of operating profits, driven by the profitability of the mandatory cash and the commissions. Revenue are 2.4 billion, additional growth of 598 thousand million pesos, growing at 33%. And we see in the graph how they are revenue from commissions, which are significant, an increase in 9.9 in Colombian currency, the participation method reflecting the evolution of protection with a growth of 87.5%. The performance of the cash is 378% in local currencies and 407% in local currency for that 204 million that we mentioned in the graph. When we see operating expenses, they've grown at 15.3, less than half of the growth for revenue. In operating expenses, I'd like to say that sales expenses are growing at 15.3% due to an increase in the commercial activity in Chile and in Mexico. In administrative expenses, we see an increase of 17.7%, and this is an impact associated to the project that we have been implementing in transformation of the business and for improving the management and savings and investment. And operating profits are 1.1 billion pesos, improved margins from 38 to 42.6. The performance of the deposit cash is, we have some pretty regular GI, approximate GI of 2.8. Now we have a yield of approximately 12%. Let's go to this next slide, where we see graphically how the various segments have contributed to the profits. Most impact is the mandatory growth, which contributes to 275,000 million pesos to that profit. We also must point out that in the annuities, we have made some changes in the portfolio, specifically for the Mexican operation, and that has led to a profit which is 46,000 million pesos. And in the corporate business, we see that the impact of this segment is close to 86,000 million pesos negative, mostly due to higher taxes that are aligned with the higher revenues, and second, to higher financial expenses, which are associated to the IFRS 16 and the difference of coverage that we have to mitigate foreign exchange impacts of the company. These are not additional expenses, just these are reclassifications that we have this year specifically in financial expenses. And for the total, we have net profits that we show, which is 677,000 million pesos, which Suda Asset Management contributes to Grupo Suda. The company has an adjusted ROE of 8.5 and an adjusted ROTE of 30.5%. Going now to slide 21, we see the details for the mandatory business. The good performance of the good management, commercial management, and has decreased the impact of the commissions, especially Mexico and Uruguay. In the case of Peru, which in the new bid that we won last year, we had some impact. Operating revenue for the segment are close to 1.9, or close to 2 billion pesos, a growth of 30%. And we see in the middle how both the AULs and the salary bases in both countries have been very positive. The AUL has 434 billion pesos, 20.4%, driven by Mexico and Peru. Those two operations, revenue is associated to the commission is associated to the AUMs. And in the case of Chile and Colombia and Uruguay, where we are associated with the main salary basis, we had a very good growth, 8.1 in Chile, 5.7 in Colombia, and 2.8 in Uruguay. Commissions revenue have been growing by 8.9% on the lower part of this slide. The revenue from mandatory cash is very good. Sales expenses have the impact that I mentioned, high from higher commercial activities both in Mexico and in Chile, and administrative expenses reflect the following business transformation projects. The increase in the various profitability of the main funds that we manage in the region, the recognition from Morningstar Silvermine to Afore in Mexico, the drive given to protection to these results, and the importance in the recognition of the rejuvenation of the age of the customers in the case of the Peru, where we have 149,000 new members. Now we have some figures and details for the voluntary business. We maintain the growth dynamics for the quarter. Net operating results come to 275,000 million pesos with a growth of 16.7. In this segment, we are including the business units of savings and investments, which are now 35 billion pesos, with a growth of 30%, driven by net flow and yield. We'll see what each of those two contributes to the growth of the AUMs. And the other unit, which is the investment management unit, which has a 35 billion also at a growth of 5.9%. Let me remind you that approximately 33% of those AUMs are shared by both units. That is, investment management manages approximately 33% of the AUMs for savings and investment. This has been growing very well, with a double-digit growth in the various countries. And investment management, we are advancing in our objective of duplicating or doubling those AUMs in five years to have other alternatives. The revenue from commissions, we see that grow at 14.3, and sales expenses are growing less than the revenue, 13.7. The administrative expenses reflect the various projects that we're implementing in these business units, and mostly the creation of the investment management structure, which already has the complete team for what we expect in terms of growth for the next several months and years. To highlight the increase in the AUL, we have a half of the competitors, and we see at the end how we are itemized in various countries, and in the investment managed unit, all these AUMs that we have in these voluntary segment. Let's now go to Q&A session. Thank you very much. Now we'll have the question and answer sessions. We'll have the questions from the Spanish session. For those who are in the session in English or through the web, please send the questions to the platform. Then we will answer those questions. For the people on the Spanish lines, please, if you have a question, please press star 1 in your phone. If you want to remove yourself from the list, hang up. If you have a question, press star 1. Right now we have Julián Felipe Maya from the Vivienda Corredores. Good morning. Thank you very much for your presentation. Congratulations on the results. I have several questions about Suramericana. The first is I'd like to know what effects have you been from the protests we've had in Chile, and what is your outlook with respect to all the changes that can take place in that country? Also very much related to Chile, you were saying about some higher reinsurance costs in that country. Let me tell me a little bit more if that is an effect that we will all be seeing currently, or can we see that also in the future? And my last question is, I see that in the general segment we see a decrease in retained premiums in Uruguay. I'd like to see a little bit more about that trend. Thank you. Julián, good morning. Before I give you the answers for the reinsurance in Chile and Uruguay, to Juan Camilo Parra, I'd like to tell you that we've been in Chile, we've played the role of investors and actors in the financial industry, and we've followed this situation very closely. This morning, we had an important news from with the idea of starting to work on a new constitutional assembly, which will perhaps reach or lead to an agreement between the government and the other actors to find some social peace. This makes us optimistic that things will be going back to normal. Obviously, we will start a process of negotiation with this constitutional assembly, but public order will be more stable, and that's the most important. I'd like to give the floor to Juan Camilo or Mauricio so that they can tell you about the things that you asked with respect to the cost of the protest, which is pretty limited because of they have reinsurance in those caps, and the cost of reinsurance in Chile and the decrease in premiums in Uruguay. Thank you, Julián. Good morning. About the first question, reinsurance in Chile, we've been doing a negotiation with all our reinsurance, and as part of this negotiation and as a result of a significant growth in our mortgage area, we have an increase in reinsurance costs, which are non-proportional. As a result of these protests, we hope that after the new negotiation of our reinsurance, it will be an impact. But right now, we will see. With respect to Uruguay, that is a natural part of the business. There is a culling of the receivables, and we hope that over the next year, we will be recovering those premiums or that decrease that you mentioned. Thank you very much. Andres Soto from Santander. Thank you for your presentation. My question has to do with the evolution of expenses. There are several non-recurring items during this year. When you look at the results to date on the operating leverage that you've had so far, or the profits that are growing significantly, this is due to factors that will probably not be repeated, such as the revenue from investments. And how do you feel about any positive operating leverages for next year when recurring revenue from this year, when you consider retained premiums and commissions have grown around 7% and expenses are growing at 13%? Thank you. I'll give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo for your answer. Thank you, Andres. How are you? There are several items about your question. First, I have a position that in revenues, there are several clarifications. First, premiums have been growing at 5.8%, but we include the fact that Sud Asset Management is paying for the annuities business. When you look at the growth of premiums in Sud Americana, we're growing around 15%. Second, the participation method, our expectations is to maintain good growth. The figures for the bank and the guidelines shows that, as also with investments and also from the other affiliates. You're right that expenses this year have had a number of impacts that we don't want to explain right now, but they are relevant, and that's why we clarify that when you list health, VAT, and all that, investment in business, these are significant expenses that have led to that growth of 13%. In our company strategy, we have we improve expenses. The investments in business transformation, we are controlling those expenses. We have to be able to move those leverages so that we can have for the making more profitable. We have more growth in revenue than expenses. That is practically included in the budget in expenses. We're going to have a good trend in revenue growth, and we're going to invest in our businesses. We have to transform them, but we have to have trying to make some controls for the expenses. When we look at these investments, it's difficult to materialize everything overnight, because you cannot shut down the business. We have to develop new channels, new solutions. We have to invest in that. So on one hand, we have the investment. We also have the reduction in expenses. So I am positive that you have to look at the thing in its entirety, and we're trying to maintain this operating leverage that you mentioned. Specifically in the investments you've made in growth, in investment management, the investments have been completed, and the comparison would be easier for next year, and that could be a positive leverage for the voluntary business, right? Yes, the structure has been strengthened very much for investment management. That structure has been part of all the conversations we had, asset managers in the world, and make our capacity world-class. But we now believe that we are at an adequate level and that it will be comparable in terms of expenses for the following years. Thank you. I would also add that in insurance, Sudamericana has made a significant investment in diversifying channels, and this will yield their fruit. That's as explained by Ricardo. The growth in premiums only from Sudamericana is higher than 15%, and this we will continue to see that significantly in the future. Perfect, thank you. Very good morning, thank you for your presentation. I have two questions, both for Sudamericana. I'd like to understand better, in general terms, what happened in the health segment during the second quarter compared to the third. to have losses in the second and recovery during the third quarter. And in the general area, specifically in Argentina, due to the decrease in the revenue from investments, I'd like to have an idea of the order of magnitude. What percentage is the investment in Argentina that could have been affected to leave that result? Estefania, I'd like to explain the health issue first. From the beginning of the year, we began to see some issues in mandatory health, such as the fact that the payment for collections was not enough, that disability premiums were decreased, and another high impact was the transfer of members from other HMOs, which came with some delayed procedures from other companies. Like Ricardo explained, we have received 500,000 new members, and some of them come immediately for surgery or different procedures, medical procedures. So when we started to see that, we started to talk directly to the Ministry of Health, in general with the government, to consider that, which is not normal, and the weakness of other HMOs has been affecting us. Although still with the government we haven't been able to make any adjustments, we are not standing still, and we began to try to make some adjustments internally together with many of the health service providers, IPAs, and the pharma companies to try to get some more efficiencies. And those efficiencies have begun to give positive results during the third quarter. We couldn't wait for the adjustments to be made. Anyway, the fact that we've made some adjustments in agreement with our supplier, we were able to get this health activity back on a positive track, and we are still waiting for the government to make the necessary adjustments so that everything can continue in a more sustainable manner. About investments in general, I give the floor to Juan Camilo Parra for that. Estefania, the portfolio in Argentina is close to $90 million, and the fall in prices as a result of we've had some decreases in prices of up to 70% devaluation in some of the papers. So we're trying to do some defensive actions and making use of the devaluation, we increase our investments in dollars. As mentioned earlier, this is a loss which is not still a booked loss. We need to reprofile our debt according to the new government proposal. Everything is still speculative, and let's wait and see what comes out of these measures. Thank you very much. We have no further questions right now. We have a question through the platform. Felipe Otero is asking that for some time now, we're saying that there is a significant discount vis-a-vis the intrinsic value and the stock value of the company. His next question is, what is the company's position vis-a-vis repurchasing shares as a mechanism to produce value for the shareholders? Thank you, Felipe. Ricardo, I'll give you my first opinion. What we would like to do is not to affect the liquidity of the shares in the market. If we started to repurchase shares, we'll decrease even more the float, and that could lead to a loss of liquidity, which is not desirable. This is why, in my opinion, we haven't wanted to take this step. I'll give the floor to Ricardo in case he wants to add something else. I think that is the key issue. Repurchasing would have a very short-term response, but we'd be drawing out the float, so that has to be very much in alignment with the company's financing. Right, we try to leverage that. We have some certain priorities. I would add that we are working on a number of initiatives to reduce that discount because we are aware that it's pretty significant. We have to give clarity to the market with these good results why the company valuation should be much different from what we see right now. There's an impact that has to do with liquidity, and we have several initiatives to work in that area. The other thing is that repurchasing shares in Colombia is not as clear as in the U.S., for example, where through the operation of the process that we have to follow doesn't make that to be very flexible and practical at the end of the day, but the message is that it's something that we will already be reviewing and will have as one of the options. I think there's the last question. Thank you, everyone, for participating in our call and for your interest. The channel of investor relations remains open for any questions that you might have. Have a good day, and thank you very much. Thank you. This concludes today's call. You can all disconnect now.